The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus went home with his disciples, and such a crowd collected that they could not even have a meal. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to take charge of him, convinced he was out of his mind. The scribes who had come down from Jerusalem were saying, "Beelzebub is in him," and, "It is through the prince of devils that he casts devils out." So he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot last. And if a household is divided against itself, that household can never stand. Now, if Satan has rebelled against himself and is divided, he cannot stand either. It is the end of him. But no one can make his way into a strong man's house and burgle his property unless he has tied up the strong man first. Only then can he burgle his house. I tell you solemnly, all men's sins will be forgiven and all their blasphemies. But let anyone blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, and he will never have forgiveness. He is guilty of an eternal sin. This was because they were saying, "An unclean spirit is in him." His mother and brothers now arrived, and standing outside, sent in a message asking for him. A crowd was sitting round him at the time the message was passed to him. "Your mother and brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." He replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking round at those sitting in a circle about him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Anyone who does the will of God, that person is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. There is a lot of them and us, or us and them, in our world. And perhaps especially in these weeks leading up to an election. "Surely you're not one of them," we say to those who don't agree with us or our political viewpoint. Certainly in the Celtic nations of the United Kingdom, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, here in Cornwall, there's a certain amount of us and them, especially when they spoil it for us by overcrowding our roads and our beaches and the car parks, and they buy up all our houses as second homes. But I think other places can be like this too. Yorkshire people are notoriously us and them, and I noticed it when I lived in Salford too, in Lancashire. We have to recognise that there is much division, culturally and politically, in a world where people can barely talk to one another, and where division spawns hate. We must ask ourselves if this is simply part of our human nature, or whether we can bridge the gap that separates us from them. And the question is a challenging one. Parents and teachers often remark on how small children don't see difference the way that we adults do, and they're naturally inclusive in their play. Yet the world in which these children grow up is undoubtedly divided by race or nationality or geography or wealth or war or climate change or inequality. And children soon begin to recognize division. This may make us wonder if we're destined to be divided and if it's impossible to preserve and nurture and restore inclusivity and unity. Are we inevitable victims of our self-created divisions, doomed to a cycle of war and destruction, not only of them, but also of us? And a sense of us and them prevails in today's readings. The book of Genesis presents the intrusion of temptation and evil into a beautiful world that God created. The harmony of the garden is shattered by the image of the man and woman and their offspring as enemies of the serpent and its offspring. And we know from hearing many other Old Testament readings that this sense of us and them led to war and injustice and that many prophets spoke God's word in that context, attempting to encourage God's people to do God's will. And then some people mistakenly saw Jesus as other. He wasn't like the other healers who used potions and incantations to make people better. Jesus lifted people from their crippling sense of worthlessness with a touch. And unlike the religious teachers of his day who were preoccupied with ritual correctness, Jesus taught that goodness and kindness pleased God most. He felt great warmth towards men and women who were honest about themselves and who recognized that they needed help. "You are my brother, my sister, my mother," he said to them. And many sensed that God had come among them. However, there in today's gospel, we hear how Jesus' family feared for his sanity, and scribes from Jerusalem even accused him of being possessed. It is ironic that the ones who failed to recognize goodness when they saw it were the religious experts. What they didn't understand, they discredited. And since Jesus didn't fit the conventional idea of what a holy man should be, they assumed he must be doing Satan's work. And the scribes seem intent on othering Jesus, insinuating that Beelzebub or an unclean spirit is in him, thereby discouraging the crowd from listening to him. Jesus' reply to them is probably as startling now as it must have sounded then. "Satan is tied up," he told them, "like a strong man whose house is being burgled, looking on helplessly while his possessions are carried off." Jesus was trying to show them that God had broken into all their lives, that the world need no longer be locked in Satan's dungeon of despair, divided into us and them. Everywhere, forgiveness and reconciliation were releasing people, restoring their sense of well-being, and Satan was powerless to stop it because Jesus could not be seduced by wealth or comfort. Pleasing God mattered to him more than popularity. His trust in God's love made him unafraid. By believing what God said and doing what God asked, Jesus disarmed the prince of devils, and against such faith, evil is powerless. In today's gospel reading, Jesus makes it clear that it is in doing God's will that we are united. And faced with an atmosphere of such division, Jesus is emphatic in his assertion that people who are divided can never stand. When people in the crowd tell him that his mother and brother and sisters are outside asking for him, he gestures towards those who have been sitting listening to him and identifies them as his mother and brothers, saying that anyone who does the will of God is his brother and sister and mother. He refuses to see God's family as polarized into us and them. Us, his biological family, and them, not his family. There's nothing wrong with difference, and much of the richness of humanity stems from our differences in personalities and places and cultures. Often the right thing to do is to protect such differences. But when we think in terms of us and them, we're usually looking at difference as something bad, the bad being in them rather than in us. We witness incitement to hatred and division in an othering of people who may be different from us, but who should not be less than us. Much of this is deliberate and can be seen in violence and war and the exploitation of resources for the gain of some, but to the detriment of others. Sometimes it's less conscious when people absorb biases and adopt behaviors that seem harmless, but that may have an impact on others. Excessive consumption that contributes to climate change, or a failure to recognize privilege that we take for granted that others don't have because of race or nationality or geographical location or disability. Jesus' words throughout the Gospels leaves us in no doubt that God's will is that we be united as one household rather than divided, that this us can be composed of many thems. Perhaps today's readings can encourage us to reflect on how, consciously or unconsciously, we exclude others by classifying them as them rather than us. And we try to discern what God wants us to do so that we may truly call ourselves one household. Everyone, the mother and brother and sister of Jesus, acting, all of us, in according to God's will in our world.